Okay. Hello and welcome to the not bisexual. Sorry about that, people. Hello and welcome back to the Kinkster's Attic. My guest for episode 24 is Miss Tickler from Shire Stocks on X/Twitter and Tumblr. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay, so we talked a little bit before we began recording. And for some reason, even though I clicked on record, it started at 24 seconds, which is odd, but oh well. we'll see what happens. But anyway, normally how I like to start with my episodes is the person talks about how they got into the kink community. So would you like to tell us about your experiences? I know you said your husband also does things as well. Would you mind sharing both of your experiences?
Yeah, sure. I mean, our kinks are sort of different but similar. So I'll start with mine. So mine began with primarily the tickling fetish, which started when I was a lot younger. So for anyone that doesn't follow us closely on any of the social platforms, I am transgender, male to female. So when I was a little boy, it sounds really weird to say that. It feels really weird to say that, actually. But yeah, I sort of, like a lot of people in the same in the community, I stumbled upon tickling in cartoons, TV programs and things like that. And it sparked an interest. As that developed, I noticed it was more about when the feet were being tickled and primarily on a male character. And then I suppose the fetish itself sort of developed more into real life when I was sort of in my mid to late teens and I was having sleepovers. And I remember one morning there was a friend of mine that had stayed over, and I woke up to him actually tickling my feet and playing with my feet. And found that sort of strangely, you know, arousing. Nothing happened. Obviously, you know, as soon as I sort of started to move, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, okay, off. But then I started to think, well, maybe if I was to do that the other way around, you know, what would that feel like? So that's when I started experimenting with, you know, tickling my friends and things like that. And that's how that sort of started. Then in adult life, you know, that's when I started actively looking for people to meet up with to have tickling sessions. But in my in most of my adult life, I lived in a lot of shared accommodation. So having the space and having the time to have these sessions was very, very difficult. And every time I was in a relationship, I would sort of take a back seat from it. Because at that time, I didn't want to be open with anyone about my interests. So it was all very much hidden. You know, lots of, you know, late night searching on the internet for content, and, you know, when you couldn't have an actual session.
I don't know how it is in the UK, but I know in the States where I live, distance is a really horrible factor, especially for me. Like I, as most people know, I live in like rural areas. So to get, like, if I know someone who's ticklish in, say, the West Coast, and I'm all the way on the East Coast, then that's going to be a problem for me because I can't drive or fly out there.
Yeah. And I mean, what's even more bizarre for you guys, I mean, you say East Coast and West Coast. I mean, it's different time zones. It's not just another part of the country. You're actually going through different time zones. Whereas here in the UK, east to west is, you know,
probably it's the same time zone.
It's about a 3-hour drive from east to west, from like
the east Midlands. But at least it's in the same time zone, though.
Yeah, exactly. But it can still be difficult. You know, people don't necessarily want to travel that far. People don't have time to travel that far very often as well. You know, jobs, family life, and things like that can be very difficult. Conflicting schedules. You know, this person's only free on weekends. This person's only free weekdays. You know.
Yeah. Have you ever had to travel? Like, I'm assuming you're in England. Have you ever had to travel like far north through Scotland, like northern Scotland?
Well, we do a lot of traveling in general anyway, but we've not actually traveled that far for any tickling sessions. We've had quite a few people come to us from quite far distances. I mean, we've had a guy come from Scotland a couple of times, which is, it's a nice feeling to think that people actually want to make the effort to travel that far to come and play with us and feature in our content. You know, that's a really, really, really nice feeling. We, you know, again, we're not saying that our time's more precious than anyone else's at all, but we're extremely busy people in general life. I mean, you know, maybe listeners might be interested to know how long it's taken me and you to arrange the time to actually record this podcast.
That's okay. I'm used to it. I'm used to it. Hey, I always juggle with people. Last week I was supposed to have, I've been having the past 3 weeks double recording sessions in the week. And I think last week I had to, one of my guests, I had to reschedule like 3 times, either for something on her end or my end.
It happens, doesn't it? That's the thing that people don't tell you about being an adult is, you know, you have to prioritize everything, and sometimes things have to be put on the back burner for a while.
Yeah, and we were in the same time zone and we had to keep rescheduling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So I assume that both you and your husband are like tickle switches, I assume?
No, so I'm not actually ticklish myself. I found out obviously through the experimenting when I was younger that I do like having my feet tickled, but I just find it super relaxing. So as a lair myself, and as any other lair out there will probably say, that's not the response that you're
that they want
for.
To get. Yeah.
Absolutely not. And my husband, so what I was saying before about putting things onto the back burner when I was in relationships and stepping away from things. When I finally began my transition, so I started transitioning back in 2010. And I met my husband in 2016. And so, again, everything went on the back burner once we started our relationship. And then it was only just short of 2 years that we'd been together and when we got married. And then after we were married, I suddenly sort of thought to myself, right, I can't hide this forever. You know, it's something I enjoy. It's part of who I am. So I need to tell this guy. So I thought, you know what? I've got a marriage certificate. He's now just contractually obliged to love me. So I'm just going to tell him.
Oh, I never heard that before. Yeah. I guess there's nothing. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So I sat him down one night and I told him, and you know, he was a bit taken aback, and it took him a few days to kind of get used to the whole idea. I think he was a bit concerned at first that it was as sexual as in the sense that I wanted, you know, active sexual activity within, you know, sessions with other guys. Which, you know, I quickly explained to him that's not something that I was looking for at all. And then he seemed to sort of calm down quite a bit. And we're very much a team in everything that we do. We both spur each other on in everything that each of us decides to do. And he just said, okay, well, if this is something that you want to do and you want to do it properly, well, then I'm coming along for the ride. Which I was like, okay, brilliant.
And that's cool.
His personal kink has been more bondage based. It's not something, you know, sort of the BDSM scene, which is not something I've ever really delved into outside of tickling.
So he likes like the different bondage positions and all that stuff.
Yeah, and he likes the spanking and you know, the control and things like that. So but that's something that he explores separate to the tickling side. So, you know, we have this this kind of relationship where he can go off and he can explore that stuff. I do solo tickle sessions during the week, while he's obviously really, really busy with work. Our rule is just there's no sexual activity involved, and that's it, you know.
That's good. It's some people I know, with talking with like couples in general, some of them are very, like even without the sexual stuff, they're very hesitant to do bondage and tickling with like another male, another female. So that's neat that you guys are more open to that kind of thing.
I mean, my husband identifies as bisexual, so again, an issue for him. So it's all just worked out, really. I've been really, really lucky with it. Oh, except for when we first started filming the videos, you know, we then had COVID come, so everything got stopped for
a good long while. that's great that you guys are open with your like ticklish kinks and stuff like that. Because I know in the past, like whenever I would meet like of course on FetLife or somewhere else, I would find, you know, couple profiles and you know, they'd be so, I don't know if they were fearful that something would happen or something, like that's what I'm thinking, because they were very like, you can't do this, you can't do that. If you want to play with one of us, another one of us has to be here. It was very like I don't know if they had bad experiences and it scared them or something,
it's possible. I mean, I think the thing I love the most about the kink world in general is there's not really one set rule for anyone, even within an individual kink. It's very much an individual thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think some people are more comfortable with it than others. Some people may gain more confidence in time. Some people may not. It's just, it's just a big melting pot of weird and wonderful, fabulous people.
Yeah, exactly. So I assume that you've had like a fair amount of meetups with people in the past.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, I actively started meeting people for sessions when I was 18, and I'm 37 now, 38 this year. So yeah, 20 years coming on.
Okay, well, what?
A while.
I always like to ask this of my guests who do sessions, like, what was your like weirdest or most interesting session you've had? Like, you can leave names out too if need be.
See, it's really hard. I have had this question before, but the thing is most of our sessions, they're just so different.
Mm-hmm.
They're always so different, and there's always something that you didn't foresee happening, whether that's, you know, someone is more ticklish in a specific spot that someone else hasn't ever been, or
you find out a certain tool works better than others. Yeah.
Or that. I honestly can't, do you know what? I honestly don't think I could pick one out. There's far too many.
Okay.
The thing I always say about it is I've had two different tickle lives, if you like. So I had the the one pre-husband, which was, you know, quite a long time. But again, as I said, it was a lot of shared accommodation, so I didn't have a lot of time to accommodate. I didn't drive, so it was difficult for me to get to lots of different places. So a lot of the times it would be, you know, a very seedy, like, you know, a guy would come pick me up in his car. And I look back at it now and I think some of the things that I did, if I was to look at someone that young doing that then, I'd be like, you're insane, and you just please don't do that, because you're putting yourself in potential danger. But,
I've done that stuff in my 20s.
You just don't think about it at the time, do you? You just need that thrill and... Yeah. Years later, you look back and you think, oh my God, I'm so lucky to be here. But
It's also a difference, though. Like, there's a difference between doing random stuff, but also wanting to get out there and be safe about it. You know. Like there is a difference.
Mm. But so there was that stuff. And we go off to, you know, an abandoned car park or industrial estate somewhere or wherever.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I've mostly, let's see, I think the most remote place I've done was a park parking lot during winter when the park was not being used.
Yeah.
I did not do, I haven't done the woods yet. I know people who have done that, but I have not yet.
The thing is, after all these sessions, though, I would just, there was nothing. It was just like, okay, well, that was fun and it's over. Now what?
Exactly.
It's just done.
Same here.
Whereas now I have my husband and we do this together. We talk about it afterwards. You know, we have like a little, as we call it, our tickle family. So a lot of the guys that we work with, they genuinely become our friends. We spend a lot of time talking to them. You know, even guys that have only been to, you know, play with us once, you know, we still have conversations via, you know, the WhatsApp group or whatever, and we still send happy birthdays and happy Christmases and things like that. And after the sessions, you know, we do all sit down and we just chill out with either, you know, a cup of tea or a glass of wine or whatever and some food and say, right, so how was that? What parts of that did you think went well? Were there anything that surprised you? You know, and we just really sort of dissect it, you know, and discuss it. And it's just, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. Normally I have some guests tell me some rather interesting, weird stories of things that have gone wrong for them in the past. I don't know. I like people who listen to the podcast who are regulars, they know about my van story that I almost got into, but thankfully didn't.
Right. Okay.
I'm not going to repeat it because it's been mentioned several episodes.
I'll have to go back and listen for it.
I think I mentioned it the last episode before this one. So I think that's the most recent one that I mentioned it.
Yeah.
You just think like, you don't want to make judgments on people, but at the same time, it's like, okay, I have to make sure this person is sane if they're going to tie me up and tickle me. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, it's just come to mind, actually, where you're saying about, you know, stories. I do think it's quite a recent one, and it's one I have spoken about with some people. There was a guy who came and wanted to get tickled. He only wanted to be tickled by me. He didn't want to be tickled by another man, which is, you know, absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. When he turned up, looking at pictures, so we always say to anyone that approaches us, you know, we obviously chat for a while first. I think the least amount of time we've ever spoken to someone before actually meeting face to face for any type of play is about 3 weeks. Just to make sure that we all sort of communicate with gel, you know, we're talking about boundaries and everything else just beforehand. And this guy was again about 3 weeks, but we always ask for a picture of the soles of their feet and of their face. It's not for any specific reason. We don't store any of the pictures. We don't share any of the pictures. It's just, we need to know that, you know, the feet are looking okay. Not, you know,
crusty,
like not like the Sahara, you know. And, you know, obviously it's always nice to see who you're talking to.
Exactly.
So obviously some people get a bit funny about it, but we always say, look, we ask this of everyone. There's a group of people that we've worked with in the past that are fine with people contacting them. So we say, look, go and speak to this person or this person. Ask as many questions about us as you want and then come back to us when you feel a little bit more comfortable, a bit more confident. But this guy, he turned up and first of all, no judgment, but the smell of marijuana was just unreal. Like, I'm not opposed to people that want to smoke marijuana, but for me personally, I don't really like the smell of it. It just makes
me feel I had an open heart surgery when I was younger. And also recently, back in 2021, I had COVID, and it's made me not like the smell of any kind of smoke, either marijuana, cigarettes, cigars.
So I'm
the same way. I will not do it because it will physically get inside my lungs and I'll be coughing for like hours.
I mean, I'm an ex-smoker, but I've never ever smoked in my home. Even as a smoker, when I was smoking, I couldn't stand the smell of smoke.
I recently have autism, and I recently started taking like CBD gummies for my autism, which is great, but there's no THC, so it only helps the mood and I don't get high.
Okay.
So yeah, but I understand, like I don't like to do smokers. I don't like to do if you're getting high on stuff. No.
So that was the first issue. And then when he took his shoes and his socks off, I mean, the pictures he sent me of his feet looked really, really nice. You know, the soles looked really smooth, well taken care of.
Yeah.
And they still did look like that. The only issue is his toenails were like, so they were like curling over.
Like he didn't trim them?
Kind of, but they were also, you could see there was some fungal stuff going on there.
Oh, ew. Yeah.
And the smell was just horrendous. And over here in the UK, I don't know if you guys have it in the UK, and this makes everyone laugh when I tell them, I actually went and got a bottle of Febreze, which is like a fabric freshener spray. And I
said, yeah, I know Febreze.
I said to him, I was, I'm so sorry. I said, I have to spray these. And I just sprayed his feet.
Yeah, we have people use Febreze, scented candles. I think one time someone said that they actually had to use like a smelling kind of lotion that smelled nicer.
Yeah. Oh no, that was horrendous. Needless to say, that must have ruined
the mood.
Yeah.
Well, what about like the nicest feet that you guys have ever seen? What about that?
Well, not to be biased, but I think my husband's got some pretty nice feet, actually. It's certainly not what attracted me to him in the beginning, but I think he has got quite nice feet. But I think, again, this is really hard because we've seen so many different types. I think there's a guy called Mr. Feet and Kinks who is on X. I keep going to call it Twitter. He's on X. He's got very nice feet. He's size 12 UK. I'm not sure what the conversion is.
I think that would be like a size 9 or 10 in the US, I think.
Okay.
I think it's bigger for UK, smaller for US.
Right, okay. So yeah, so size 12 UK. Very soft, very well taken care of. And then on the side, there was a guy we had, he only came once. His name's James. And he has gorgeous feet, and they are so, so soft, so well taken care of. But sadly, they're just not very ticklish. There was no reaction at all.
I've known some males and females in which, you know, they've had nice feet, but they weren't ticklish, and I'm like, oh, drat. And some of the ones that, you know, like they're not ugly, but they're okay. You know, like I've seen nicer. They turn out to be like so ticklish, and I'm like, although sometimes I do find one. They're rare, but sometimes I do find one. With females in particular, I like the, on the bigger side for feet. So I remember this one family member who was around my age. She had this friend, this female friend, this gorgeous blonde, and she had size 9 feet, and they looked so nice and well kept.
In the UK, so is that going to be?
I don't know.
So if it's bigger in the UK than it is in the US, and my God, that's huge.
Yeah,
I'm a size 8.
Yeah, she's 9, 9 and a half.
Seven. Yeah.
She told me she's about a 9, 9.5, but she can easily fit into a 10. Okay.
Wow.
But yeah, that, and she was so sensitive on her soles. I remember the slightest, like all I had to do was go up with my fingers and she was done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
see, I'm done, but just in a different way. I just become putty.
Like you melt.
Yeah, I do. I often get my husband to play with my feet in the evenings while we're watching a movie.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I have heard of some people who get more like excited than ticklish when you tickle them. Like I have met a few people like that.
Yeah.
It's rare, but I have met some. Well, to me, it's rare. I don't know if it's rare to you, if you've met others that are.
I've met a few. I mean, I am. We're sort of going through a bit of a phase at the moment of having people come, like new people, particularly who are not necessarily as vocally ticklish as some of the people we've had before.
Have you had people like fake being ticklish?
I've had a few people try that, yeah, but it's very obvious when they do that.
It's also awkward, I think, because I've had that in the past, and it's like, okay, if you're not ticklish, you don't have to pretend and laugh weirdly.
Yeah.
Like it just makes it awkward, I think. I don't know. It makes it awkward, but. Do you guys incorporate any like tickle role play with your tickling, or is it strictly just tickling the hell out of people?
There's a lot of natural banter that tends to go on. My husband is very, very quick witted. He's got a very, very dark, very sick sense of humor. Sometimes sometimes though, when I'm sitting going through and I'm editing the footage and he's been having a conversation with someone while they're like in hysterics and I'm like, no, I can't put that in. That's a bit too much. That's got to come out. but I remember we were tickling this one guy. He's called Hotel Guy. It was really unfortunate. He didn't have the nicest feet at all. They were very, very dry, very, very crunchy.
So they needed a tub of lotion, basically.
Oh, they needed an angle grinder. It was
just like a scraper.
Oh my god, yeah, like industrial strength. But he was super, super ticklish. And again, because we'd spent so long talking to him and building up this relationship before actually meeting him, while we were in the process of tickling, my husband, I can't remember what tool it was he grabbed, but he grabbed something and said, well, let's see if we can try this now. And, he went to town on his guy cells, and in between, like, laughing, the guy was like, you're not getting a fucking Christmas card from me now.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
It's all very natural, flowing sort of thing. There's nothing that's about our content that's staged. We do have discussions about positions and things like that beforehand, but there's nothing that's like, you don't have someone sort of turning up pretending to fix the fridge and then what's that thing in that room there.
Yeah, well, I think it's more fun being spontaneous sometimes. I do enjoy a good tickle role play once in a while. My role play isn't so much for tickling as it is just for bondage. Like since I have a bondage fetish, of course, with bondage play, I will do role plays, but with tickling, it's kind of like, they're okay sometimes, but other times it's like not really.
Yeah. So. I think for us, for me personally as well, I think when you're going to do a role play, especially if it's going to be a good one, you've got to have a certain skill set. And I'm not an actress of any description at all. So I think for me, when I try and sort of do things that are sort of scripted, I mean, it just comes out really awkward.
Yeah, but then again, I'm awkward too, and I just deal with the awkwardness. People tend to find my awkwardness cute, so.
Some people's awkwardness is cute. My awkwardness is just uncomfortable.
That's what I think about my awkwardness, but people tell me otherwise. So I'm like, no, you do not know how messed up I am in my head. I don't know. I haven't done that much role play in the past. When I was in my 20s, I did a little bit. I only did one once with me being the tickler. And I had one or two guys want to do a role play, and it kind of started out good, but then, you know, I just ended up getting tickled, and we kind of lost the role play thing, and it just went all out, and, you know, which was fine for me, but
yeah.
Normally when I try to do role plays in the past, they don't really work in person.
Right. Okay. Is that something you found quite often then?
Yeah. Like that's fine with me though. Like I can do without a role play. I'm not a person that requires, like, I know there are people out there that need to role play in order to be tied up and tickled or something.
Yeah.
But for me, I can do role play, but I've been more spontaneous the recent decade. So it's because I'm so used to being spontaneous, that's something that I'm just used to.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, again, I think another factor for us is because we are so busy, it's difficult to dedicate that much time to something. Because, again, role play can take a considerable amount of time, you know, to set up.
Oh, it can take hours sometimes.
You know, and yeah. Very rarely do we have that sort of free time. I mean, you know, our day sort of starts at, you know, 6 a.m. You know, my husband works from 8 till 5 most days, and then by the time, you know, we've had dinner, we've got the dogs, you know, they need their walks in the morning and in the afternoon and then in the evening, you know, so by the time it gets to the evening, we've got a couple of hours just to sit and just have time for ourselves, which again is another, aside from the, you know, the no sex, it's the other rule that we made at the beginning is, you know, we still need to make time for ourselves as a couple, because that's hugely important in any relationship. Then obviously, you know, with the sessions that we do have outside of that, you know, we've got our friends and family that also want to spend time with us and stuff.
It's exactly. You have a life outside. So
absolutely. Yeah. You know, and you have to sort of fit everything in, and it can be a real balancing thing sometimes. I mean, our calendar. So, for us to do sessions together, like for both me and my husband to be present in and part of the session, we have to do that on a Saturday. And we dedicate two Saturdays a month to doing that. And then the other two, one of those is just for us to have a day to ourselves. And then the other one is to either go and see a family member or a friend, or, you know, do something, go out with a group of friends for dinner or something. And then that's all the weekends of the month pretty much gone. But because of that, we book up so quickly and so far in advance. We actually had one person a while ago, I think this is probably the beginning of last year, it's like January, February time, and we were already booked up on our Saturdays until the June.
Oh wow.
And the guy was like, I feel like I'm booking a doctor's appointment. I was like, well, without the medical side of things, you kind of are.
Exactly. Yeah, if you get that busy, you get that busy. There's nothing you can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the only thing I can do is say, well, you can come and have just a solo session with me during the week, you know, but if you're adamant that you want my husband to be part of it, which is absolutely fine, you just have to be a little bit more patient.
Yeah, with me, it gets difficult because the times that I'm available, people aren't available. Mm. Like, I have kind of an awkward schedule, and also I don't live alone. Mm. So it's like, okay, I can do most weekdays, mornings or afternoons. Yeah. And people are like, well, I can't do that. I need weekday nights. I need, you know, Saturday mornings, Sunday evenings. And it's like, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I got a few months ago, I actually had one guy get really pissed at me because I couldn't give him a day that worked on his schedule. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's just what I have.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes people, especially when a lot of them I find are still quite new to it, or they haven't really had that much experience, like real-time experience, and all they do is they see the content that you put out, and there's just the assumption that that's all you do, that that is your life.
Yeah, that's not true. That's horrible.
No, it's not at all. It's not. I mean, it does take up a lot of time, you know, obviously, you know, the editing, the posting of the content, making sure, you know, you're updating things, trying to respond to messages and things like that. It all does take time, but it can't just be the only thing that you're ever going to do. I mean, unless you are extremely lucky, like, you know, I know there are a few people out there, but unless you are extremely lucky, you have to have other forms of, income, you know, which require time.
Yes. And it's so odd because it's funny that you mentioned that, because I've had that in the past. It's like they think that you, like you said, they think that's all you do. So, you know, I've had some people that think like, oh, well, they can easily, like, I can easily respond back, you know, because I have a phone. And it's like, well, yeah, just because I have a phone, I don't, I can't respond sometimes because I'm either in class, I'm, you know, dinner with family members, et cetera. And it's like, I can't do this all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And some people get pissed off if you tell them that for some reason. I don't know why.
I think for some people, especially when they're contacting you out of the blue, I think it's what I seem to have found is that a lot of them are in need of something in that moment.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And only that moment. So when you then get back to them about an hour or something later, they've already fixed what needed to be fixed and you're no longer of any use to them.
Yeah, they either say, yeah, whatever, or you don't hear from them. Or sometimes I found out it's blocked. Like, oh, yes, this, you cannot send messages to this person. This person has blocked you.
And yeah, I'm like,
absolutely. Okay, all because I didn't respond, you're going to block me. That's kind of childish.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what it is. Like there are some moments where I need an answer in a short amount of time, but I also don't, you know, randomly block someone just because they haven't messaged me in X amount of hours.
Do you ever get the people that block you and then, you know, 2 or 3 months later they suddenly come back?
Once or twice, but most have remained blocked.
Yeah.
Only once or twice I had that though.
Yeah. What was your response when they came back to you?
I don't like to start shit up, so I'm like, you know, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, look who's back. But I don't tell them that, you know. I either just let them message me on their own time and see what happens. Because it's like, okay, if someone, unless it's someone that I really, really communicated with a lot, if someone ends up blocking me because I don't respond, then it's like, okay, that's fine. I have an inbox full of other people that will message me, and that's no big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. We tend to work on like a two strike basis, so you know, two strikes and you're out. And then that is, you know, we have had people come back that have, because we've had quite a few people that have actually arranged, you know, sessions, and then on the day, you know, they just don't turn up and you just don't hear from them. And, you know, that's, I understand that sometimes people can get a little bit nervous, and that's completely understandable. But one of the things we always say to the people that we play with, or that we even talk to, is like, if you want to come and have a session, you can. If you decide, even on the day, if you decide you don't want to, we're not going to hold it against you. But just tell us, because that way we're not sitting here waiting. We know that you're not coming. We can then get on with some other things, and we can look at rearranging for another time if you want to. But when you sort of, you know, you've set that time aside and you're sitting there and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, and you think, well, they're half an hour late, that, you know, could be traffic, whatever. When it sort of gets to an hour, you're like, no, they're not coming, you know.
Yeah, that's why I don't like to tell people immediately that I can do stuff. Normally I say, well, I have to look at my schedule. Well, I might not be able to do this, but I'll see if I can. It's very rare do I say to someone, yeah, I can do that, when I don't know if I can or not.
Yeah. But no, we have had a couple of people that have done that, and have done that on a few occasions, and that's when we've then had to say, no, it's not going to happen. And they've got a bit sort of shitty when we said that. And it's like, I'm sorry, time, you know, we don't have the time to sit around waiting for people if they're not going to show up. So, you know, just you'll have to go and find someone else.
Yeah. Have you and your husband in the past, I don't know what they do in the UK, but I know in the States they do like tickle meets and stuff like that.
Like
group things, like big convention type.
Yeah, they do. We do. There's not, I think the biggest one we have over here is, I'm not actually going to say the name of it. It's a friend of ours that runs it. And we did go specifically because, you know, this friend of ours wanted us to go along, and we did. And, you know, it was fine. The first time it was okay. We were both a bit sort of out of our depth. It was the first time we'd done anything with a group. It was a mixed group as well, so males and females. So I was a bit sort of, well, what's going to happen here? So because I don't actively play with other females. I only play with men. That's just a personal choice. The second time we went, my husband found it very difficult. My husband's also autistic. He didn't actually find out until much, much later on in life. So he's 45, and he only found out when he was about 40, I think.
Yeah, I found out when I was 9 or 10. That's when I found out.
Wow. So over here in the UK, it's very difficult to have a child diagnosed with autism. They a lot of the doctors try throwing out that it's just cognitive issues or so many other forms of.
I know in the US we have something called re-diagnosis. Like, even though you've been diagnosed as a child, you can be re-diagnosed in like 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. We get a lot of late diagnosis with that over here. It's a lot of adults, especially over the last sort of 10 years, a lot of adults in their 40s are being diagnosed with autism. Which is, in a way, is good, but then is in a way is a shame, because there could have been so much more to help them when they were younger with school.
Exactly.
And things like that. And I feel that, you know, they've made mistakes. Anyway, we're getting off track.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine.
My husband's also autistic, and he can be a bit socially awkward, even though he's always the life and soul of the party. He can be a bit socially awkward if it's a new group of people.
Yeah, same here.
And for some reason, this particular time, even though there were lots of people we'd seen the time before, nobody seemed to want to play with him at all. Even in this particular group, they have the House Lee. They normally have like one or two House Lees. And even the House Lee didn't want to play with him. And it's like, wow. So he felt really, really shunned.
I don't blame him. I would feel the same way.
On that particular event. And then we'd joined a Discord group for this particular event. And, we were chatting quite a lot. And there was just something, it was just a very toxic environment. Very clicky.
Oh God, I've met those kind of groups.
And it actually, after about a month of being in this group, it was very apparent that the person that actually ran the event wasn't in the group. And so I sort of took someone to the side, in a private chat, and just said, is there a reason why this person isn't here? And I said, no, we don't want him in the group. But it's a group about the event that he runs. Yeah, but we just don't want him in it. Okay. And he actively tried to join the group a couple of times and got kicked out from the admins. And so it all just absolutely kicked off. And a few of the people that were in the group who, you know, actively make sure that they always go to this event, they always like to have some private playtime with this person, was in this group saying, you know, no, we don't want him in here. We can't trust him. He's a danger to people. And so it's, well, then why are you putting yourself in a position to play with him if he's that dangerous? You know, so I just put my hands up. I said, no, I'm getting out of this situation. I know,
but there are people who like danger situations.
Yeah.
I'm not for that, but there are people that like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would never say that someone's experience is not someone's experience, but, you know, I've never had any bad experiences with this person. I don't know anyone personally who has. But the way I look at things is, if he's so bad that you don't want him to be in a place where you are having conversations, then why would you put yourself in a hotel room with him on your own?
Willingly? Exactly. That seems kind of stupid of you if you don't think that, and then you do the exact opposite of what you're thinking.
Yeah. So no, I left the group, and I said to my friend, I said, look, I said, I it's entirely up to you what you do. I said, but I'm not going to come to this event anymore. I said, you're my friend. I said, and I'm not going to stand there and actively watch people take the piss out of you, basically, all your hard work and your effort. But, you know, if you still want to carry on doing it, that's your choice. And obviously I support your choice in doing that, but I'm not going to participate.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have had, I don't want to say discrimination, but I've had kind of like, I tend to, especially in the kink community, I tend to hide my autism.
Right.
Mostly because then people are like, they either get nervous, they get scared, or they're like, oh, well, what does that mean as far as what we're doing? And I don't really see it as something that would be an issue in my kink life, unless something were to randomly come up. Like, yeah, there might be one circumstance or two or something like that, but you know, I don't really see it as an issue from like my day to day, you know, kink life.
Yeah, there's no reason why you should. I think it's really unfortunate that people are still not really educated enough about you know, things like autism, you know, ADHD, you know, lots of different things out there that people still, it's ableist, you know.
Yes, it is.
Something that people aren't really attuned to, you know. It's this is where having conversations beforehand is so important, because you can gauge what someone's needs are. If there's something that you need to do in particular, you know, I mean, exactly. Going back to years ago, I mean, stepping away from kink, I mean, my first experience with someone with autism was when I was a supervisor at a bar.
Yeah.
And we had a new guy come work for us. He's a lovely guy. He's only 19. And he'd been working there for a while as a glass cleaner, and he kept badgering the management to let him go on the bar. And they said, okay, you can go on the bar. And they had him with me for the first night, because my bar was the quietest bar. I had like the chill out bar that looked like an old like English country pub. At the top of the building. And his first shift for some reason was on a Thursday, the quietest night you could possibly get. And it's also the night when I did all the cleaning. So I had all of the bottles off the optics just all over the place. The bar was in, you know, absolute chaos. Nothing was where it was supposed to be. And he walked out onto the bar, and I just said, oh, hey, are you okay? I'll be with you in a second. He just sort of stood there and just sort of froze. And he's like, put everything back. I was like, what? He's like, I need you to put everything back. I was like, well, I'm cleaning. He said, no, I need you to put everything back. So I said, okay, well, you're going to have to give me a minute. He said, I'm going to get it back. He said, let me know when it's done. I said, okay, fine. So I sort of put everything back, and then I sort of went and got him. I said, is everything all right? He said, I'm autistic. I wasn't prepared for the fact that everything wasn't going to be where it normally is. I wasn't prepared to see, you know, the bottle of vodka that's normally up there in the middle optic of those three over there on top of the coffee machine. He said, it just really, really threw me. So
yeah, that's because in certain social situations, you know, because I do the same thing sometimes. Like, you know, if I remember a certain place a certain way, it brings me comfort. So if there's something out of place, that's what makes me not comfortable and think what's going on. Mm-hmm. At least for me sometimes. I don't know if that was his experience, but for me, that's what sometimes I get.
Yeah, you just said it couldn't sort of focus. It just made everything really,
It's I call it going in circles. Like if something is different and I can't really take it, my mind goes in circles. That's why I really like the CBD gummies that I'm taking, because since taking them like a week or two ago, I have not been going in circles like I used to.
Yeah, so, and that's good.
Yeah.
It's good that they're working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I completely understand what he would be going through.
But obviously, you know, once we then had that discussion, I made sure that I said to him, you can't come up on this bar on a Thursday between this time and this time, because I have to get the cleaning done because it has to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
You just need to avoid the bar area at this time.
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah. I have tons of bartender friends, and when they need to clean, everything is everywhere.
Yeah, it's unavoidable.
Yeah, exactly. Things need to be clean in order to, you know, get more business.
Yeah, absolutely. And not make people poorly.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially with tips.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's so yeah, I as usual, I get derailed on these podcasts sometimes, going off on other stuff. So that's good. A lot of topics that we've discussed have seemed to be topics that I've talked about in the past, like kink safety and making sure, you know, people aren't crazy or weirdos or or stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm trying to think of what else. When do you and your husband, do you see people actively search out you two for sessions, or do you guys have to like hunt for people if you want a session?
Absolutely no. We get a lot of messages a lot of the time. It's the hard part is sort of going through them and figuring out who, you know, the person that's genuinely looking to come and have a session with us, and the person that's just wanting a quick conversation so they can make themselves happy.
So they can nut.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Again, we get a lot of as well, which at the end of the day is, you know, it's if it's what makes them happy, it's what makes them happy. It's just sometimes I just don't have the time for it. And I'm just like, look, I need to just go watch a video. Or something, you know.
Yeah, there are other means to get around this than
absolutely.
I don't know,
but sometimes we do seek out people as well. I mean, I've just recently I've got hopefully on Friday, depending on weather, because we've got a snow warning here starting from tomorrow. And in the UK, as soon as there's like a single flake, everything stops. So hopefully on Friday, I've got a guy coming over. He's like one of those Twitter alphas.
Yeah.
Which I never really thought I would be, you know, approaching any of them or anyone like that. But it just sort of naturally happened. We just, our paths crossed and we had a conversation. And I sort of said, you know, how would you feel about sort of trying this out, you know, something different from what you're doing? But I can imagine, you know, maybe some of your fans might enjoy seeing that, you know. And he's like, yeah, up for it. So that should be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Yeah, with me, it's very, and I said this earlier in the episode, but with me, it's very difficult to try to find someone. Plus, you know, sure, some good friends know that I, you know, like feed. Some know that I like tickling, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, some of them, most of them aren't that lately. They're like, okay, yeah, that's fine that you like that, but no thanks to me. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. No big deal. Mm. So that's why it's kind of hard for me to find people with my interests, especially like nearby.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It does always seem to be that way, doesn't it? That when you are looking, especially online, you see lots of people that are really quite far away.
Yeah.
From you.
Like,
it's
don't
the same over here. It's exactly like the same.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I do have a few friends that will sometimes placate my, you know, tickle fetish and stuff like that.
That's brilliant.
You know, but under very, it's mostly on their terms, and I'm fine with that. Whatever makes them comfortable. Like you know, like I have several friends who are extremely ticklish, and they know that, you know, I like feet, so they're fine with it. You know, I have another friend where I just glide up slowly with my finger once, and it's like I'm digging in, you know, when I'm really not. You know, so I always have to be I'd rather have them be like, I'd rather have them be open and comfortable than creep out and shut away.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I always have to remind myself, like, okay, the area that I'm in is a backwoods community, and they're not as open to things like I am. So, you know, I have to tread carefully, and, you know, I have to really listen into people's limits more than I normally would. Like, you know, yeah, I listen to people's limits inside the kink community, but outside, and I see someone who wants to do something, I have to really be on alert with limits versus in the kink community where you have limits, but it's a bit more open.
It is a bit more open, but then again, limits can change even in the kink community. And even in, you know, sessions. That's why, again, with us, it's so important that we always make sure, you know, that we have a safe word in place, and we use like a traffic light system as well. And it's important for the people that we are playing with to know that when we have a safe word in place, we don't have it in place as a challenge. It's not our goal for them to say the safe word, because as soon as anyone, I mean, we haven't had it yet, although my husband did come close to it once, we haven't had it yet. But if anyone says that safe word, that's it. It all stops. And it's not like it's just stopping for a few minutes and then we'll carry on. That's it. It's done. Session is over.
I was just talking about safe words in my last episode, and you know, the she's a switch, but she mostly lees, and she's met a few lures that are like, oh, no safe word. You know, it's like
so dangerous. That's concerning straight away.
I do not know how these people who say no safe word find people to tickle.
Well,
you know,
because
the majority of lees and switches that I know need a safe word.
So again, we have quite a few people that message us and say, you know, I'd really like you to tickle me, but I don't want a safe word. And it's then us that has to say, look, you don't have to say a safe word, but it needs to be there in case something is wrong.
Exactly. You can't predict what's going to happen.
Well, this is what we say, you know, when we have these conversations with people, it's not when we have the safe word in place, it's not always about, you know, having it there because, you know, the tickling sensation gets too much or so, but someone could start having chest pain or
exactly.
They could start having a pain or a discomfort anywhere in their body that is not right, and you know, they need to be able to stop that session and get out of the position that they are in really quickly.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. That's why I say that I'm a switch, but I lean more Lur nowadays than in the past. Mm. Because since I'm having COVID and stuff like that, my chest is different. Mm. And, you know, like the first time that I had a session as a Lee after having COVID and stuff like that, I found out that I can't take it anymore.
Mm.
So I don't know.
So have you got like a form of long COVID now then?
My brother has, but I haven't.
Right, okay.
My brother got an autoimmune disease because of COVID, and he had the first strand that was really bad in 2020.
Yeah. See, my husband had COVID just like before we had the vaccines and stuff. And,
yeah,
and luckily, it was only 3 days, but he was really bad for those 3 days. Really.
I had the lesser strand, like the Omicron that was less than the original one, but it was still bad because, you know, having heart surgery when I was little, you know, and it changed my lung system to where, like, I discovered new allergies that I have.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. And I discovered that I can't be out in humidity as much as I used to be.
Mm.
And yeah, so that's where I found out that it changed my system. And I've had, you know, I've gone to my doctor, he's given me chest x-rays and the chest x-ray comes back normal.
Mm. That's really bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. Even he doesn't know, you know, like I've been to a doctor, I've been to a cardiologist, I've been, you know, they all say, well, you look fine inside when we do the tests. And it's like, okay, if I'm fine inside, then how come I can't breathe sometimes?
Yes, because I mean, even if the scans are coming back normal, I mean, surely they'd be able to see, like, you know, there's less oxygen in your blood levels, or if you're not getting as much oxygen as you used to do.
That's another thing. You know, like I use an oximeter a lot. And
those things absolutely petrify me. I can't be anywhere near those.
And my oxygen's always between like 97 and 100, which is normal. So it's, I don't know what it is.
Not good.
Yeah. Not, like, according to my doctors, you know, I have a regular doctor. I have a cardiologist. You know, they run tests on me. Like, I have MRIs, ECT scans, et cetera. And they're like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong.
Oh, wow.
I do have like a little, my cardiologist told me that I have like a pulmonic valve that sometimes closes and opens.
Okay.
But he said that it's not closed enough to where it's a concern.
Okay.
Like it's apparently there's like a percentage, and the percentage it's closed is not enough to concern him, he said.
Okay. Is that it's not enough to concern him yet, but it could do in the future, or is it it's just not enough to concern him?
Well, he said that a few years ago when I had my first MRI, but since then I've had like 3 or 4 since then. Right. And last year, my MRI was like September, October, and the valve opened more. So that made him more hopeful. Mm-hmm. Like because my results were better, I don't see him this year at all. Not till 2025.
Wow. Well, hopefully it's all okay.
Yeah, but going back to how this gets back to like my kink life and stuff like that, it's, you know, from learning about my body since having COVID, I realized, hey, I can't be a Lee as much as I used to be.
Well, no, absolutely not. If you're not feeling like you're getting enough oxygen, you know, it's a vital part of it, especially if you're someone who is really ticklish and, you know, is actively gonna, you know, laugh quite a lot, then you need to be able to make sure you're getting enough oxygen to keep up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also people say that I'm also a good tickler because I've been a switch for so long, and because I get tickled myself. Lees tend to like when I tickle them because I've been through the same experience they have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm not one of those ego ticklers that's like, oh, I'm just gonna tickle you and just whatever, you know. Yeah. like since I've been on the opposite end, so to speak, you know, I'm like, okay, I know what tickling can cause to a body. So I'm not going to hurt them in certain places that I know that it would hurt me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's, I would like to know what it feels like to be on the other side, because I don't actually think I would enjoy, if I was actually ticklish, I don't think I would enjoy giving over the control and being out of control.
Well,
if that makes sense.
From my past experiences, it might be different from everyone else's, but there is a little bit of back and forth control with a lure and a lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, as in, you know, for those few moments while you are.
Because I've been with like a lot of,
I think I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, because I've been with like a lot of bratty lees that, you know, like they're in control, but they're also not.
So that
makes it really interesting.
They're bratty like that because they love it. They're egging you on because you're going to do it more, and that's what they want. So they're playing you because you're giving.
But that's my favorite kind of lee that does that.
Yeah.
Because like the ones that beg and plead are fine, but eventually it gets kind of boring after a while. So like if someone's trying to challenge you as a lure, then it's like, okay, I have to be more on my toes. This is more interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what was there anything else that you wanted to discuss as far as like what you guys do and stuff?
I'm trying to think what happened. So, I mean, obviously what we do aside from the, you know, the actual tickling itself is, you know, I'm a content producer. So, you know, we do film all of our sessions and then we do post the clips up online in various places to stream or to purchase and download. We do put up free previews on, you know, the social platforms as well, pictures, because not everyone wants to go and buy videos. Not everyone can afford to go and buy videos. So, you know, it's always nice to give them a little something that they can enjoy for free as well.
Yeah, that's also important. I know, I don't know if you and your husband have run into these people, but, you know, I know tons of contenters on Instagram and X, and mostly they will not show you like little things unless you pay. And that kind of gets annoying. Like, they're not all like that. Like I have, you know, there are nice people out there. Like there's this one, I don't know where she lives, but she's mostly a lee. She'll sometimes lure, but she's mostly a lee. Like, she'll gladly post like pictures of her content. She'll gladly post like 10, 30 second clips of her content.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, she'll also, even though she has a set price, she'll like negotiate prices if you're not, you know. so there are people out there that will be helpful with like content.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we, everyone that comes and plays with us, they get a full copy of all footage before anything's posted, so they can review it all themselves. And, you know, if there's something they don't like, they want taken out, they can have that taken out. Obviously, we do have some people that, you know, don't want to be seen. You know, they don't want their face to be visible. We don't use real names, you know, for those reasons as well. So again, you know, we always send the footage over to them. So if I've missed something in the editing, you know, like a quick like flash of their face, if they've lifted their head up and I've missed it, they can say, no, at this point that needs to be taken out. We go through all of that, and that's all done before anything's posted online. Most of them, we do say to them that, you know, set up a Just for Fans account. It's free to do. It's obviously you have to pay to subscribe, but if they set the Just for Fans page up, then they can add us as a friend, which means they then get access to our content for free.
I know on OnlyFans you can set up a free subscribe though, because I do see people do like they'll have the paid subscriber but also a free subscriber, like the free will be less content than the paid.
Yeah, we did do OnlyFans for a while, but then there was the you know, the whole thing of the information that they needed from all the models, and we just, some of the models that we work with don't want to, you know, hand over screenshots of their
passports, that's understandable
and stuff, you know. So we made the decision to step away from OnlyFans. We did lose some of our subscribers by doing that. Not all of them have followed us over to Just for Fans. Which again is understandable, you know, who wants to be on, you know, multiple platforms?
Yeah, exactly.
But it was just, you know, a lot easier. So yeah, that's pretty much what we do. So I post up a little free preview pictures on a Wednesday to say this is what's coming on the Friday, and then every Friday I update a video.
Yeah, that's good. So was there anything else that you wanted to discuss, or is that?
I think that's about it, unless you have any other specific questions for me.
No, I'm good.
Brilliant.
Okay, so this is it for this episode of the Kinksters Pod Attic. See, I keep getting it confused. This is it. no outro for you guys today. Sorry. I'm just done. Until next time.